From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on September 16th, when a simple piece of money advice went viral. Lauren Martin, writing for Elite Daily Online, had a message for millennials, for 20-somethings, stop saving money. Her piece was titled, If You Have Savings in Your 20s, You're Doing Something Wrong. It has now been shared 65,000 times online. It's racked up more than 2.3 million likes on Facebook. Here's what Martin says to 20-somethings in her piece. When you're too worried about your bank statement, you're not making your own statement. When you're saving for yourself, you're refusing to bet on yourself. When you have something to bank on, you have nothing to reach for. When you live by numbers, you strip yourself of poetry. When you die, you can't take your money with you. And when you deprive yourself, you don't learn how to treat yourself. While Martin's essay was picking up some viral steam, her critics began to take aim, Slate.com calling it jaw-droppingly wrong. But some of Martin's defenders responded that, essentially, old people don't get it. Millennials know how to value life. Well, are we a nation of debt? We are, whether it's credit card, student loan debt, or otherwise. And this hour, we're going to deconstruct this viral financial advice for younger adults. My guests going around the table include Chuck Wade. He's a financial advisor with Brighton Securities. Chuck, great to have you.
Thank you.
The non-financial advisor on the panel is someone with a lot to say on the subject. Susan Glenns is 32 years old. She's a real estate agent. She owns her own business, partially due to, well, I think in a long way, isn't due to her views on what she did during her 20s in regards to money. It's nice to have you here, Susan.
Thank you, Evan.
Karen Galliano's here. She's the client relationship manager for Bonadio Financial Services, LLC. Karen, nice to have you.
Thank you.
And Bryce Carey's here. He's a partner and a financial advisor with North Landing Financial Partners, LLC. Bryce, nice to have you.
Glad to be here.
I'm going to start with the person who's not a financial consultant. Susan, you read the essay. You know, they're aiming advice at people who are essentially in your age cohort or really close. What did you think?
I have a lot to say on this topic, but where do I start?
You can be blunt.
Yeah, I think it's a very idealistic message that it sends out there. I think a lot of people would love to live in that world where they don't have to save, they don't have to worry about the future. It takes me back to the college days when, you know, Sex and the City was our favorite show, and Carrie Bradshaw seemed to be able to pull this off really well, living in a rent-controlled apartment and spending money on nothing but Manolo Blahniks and hoping that she would meet Mr. Big one day. And, you know, doesn't work out for everyone. So I think that this article, the undertone is just sending the wrong message, and that you don't have to give up on your life and your experiences by not saving.
All right. So we are going to go around the table first here, and we are going to go specifically point by point because some of them are slightly different. I think the overall theme, Chuck Wade, is that the author thinks if you're in your 20s and you're saving money, you can't really be experiencing, creating yourself, expressing yourself. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like that. It almost sounds like I get that she's upset that she doesn't have the money to kind of do the things that she wants, so she wrote this article. That sounds great. But, you know, I think a lot of the fun times and things that I had, it wasn't necessarily centered around spending a lot of money when I was younger. It was more about being with the people I was with and doing those things. And interestingly enough, I was that person when I was younger. I had a good job in high school. I made more money than high school kids probably do, and I promptly spent it when I made it. And I think about it all the time. I wish I had done something with that money other than blow it on Blink-182 CDs and stupid things like that that I enjoyed for a moment, but I could have done something better for myself.
Okay. Karen, what do you think?
Well, to be honest, I think this article is, you know, not only is she, I guess the best way to, I hate to say this, but ignorant. She's not, you know, thinking very strategically. I mean, she's going against everything that I was taught when I was younger by my family. You know, savings, save now to provide yourself with a safety net, you know, and so that you're comfortable in the future. Why is she saying that that's not the right thing to do? She's basically giving up on the fact that she's just not going to be have that safety net in the future. I mean, we don't have kids. I'll be renting for the foreseeable future, and I have no problem eating at McDonald's. Well, why do that to yourself is my thing. I mean, my parents grew up in a time that was difficult to survive, and I think today it's even harder. So why is she cutting herself short is basically what I'm you know, struggling with. She's giving up, I feel like, on her future.
Okay. Bryce Carey with North Landing Financial Partners, bad essay or worst essay?
Worst.
The worst. What do you think?
So I think her point is very provocative in that she's essentially saying, take the time while you have it and utilize it to the max capacity that you can. Spend all the money that you can while you do not have the responsibility of family, of other commitments that you may have made for yourself. And really, the way I look at it is you're essentially borrowing from the freedom that you may be able to provide yourself in the future. And the financial freedom is something that my clients value more than anything. And to be able to make the decisions that they want to make in the future is something that they're investing in themselves today to be able to do. So the short-sightedness of this article is that it's really a die broke plan, more or less.
Now, audience, listeners, I'd love to hear from you on the subject, and I see the phone ringing already. I want to make clear, this is a very privileged sort of conversation, that if you're in your 20s and you're able to start saving for the future, I understand that's not true for everybody. The question that the essay addresses, if you have the money, don't save it. They're not saying, you know, boy, you don't look down on people who can't find work, living in poverty, et cetera. She's talking about people who could be saving money, and she's saying that you are doing something wrong. That's the actual title. If you have savings in your 20s, you're doing something wrong. And so I'd love to hear from you on the subject. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Chuck Wade from Brighton Securities. We have talked on this program in the past about the fact that we are a debt nation. Mm-hmm. Student loan debt now surpassing credit card debt, tune of more than $1 trillion nationally.
Well over a trillion.
Okay. Does this kind of mentality, unfortunately, does that dovetail with that fact to you?
Yeah, because what eventually is going to happen is that, you know, in a lot of these cases, if you live this sort of life and you spend your money and spend your money, well, someday you may get married and maybe you want to pay for a wedding. How are you going to do it? Someday you may want to start a family. Well, how are you going to pay for daycare? Or you want to buy a house. Well, how are you going to put a down payment down? Or how much are you going to pay on a monthly basis? So what does that lead to? You start to live outside of your means. And you know, it's not a four-letter word, but I think credit card is just as bad as any four-letter word out there because it leads to so much trouble, and that's when people really get hamstrung, and you lose the opportunity to make decisions for yourself and to have that financial freedom that this writer is so uneloquently advising.
Okay, and to put an important point on it as well here, we are going to talk about what compound interest is. I didn't see a whole lot of discussion in the article about compound interest.
No, she left that out.
And, you know, I think that's an important point. But we already see the phone ringing, so let's go ahead and grab our first call. It's Pete and Victor. Go ahead, Pete.
No, it's Keith, Evan.
Oh, Keith. Keith, how are you,
okay,
sir?
I'll forgive you. That's okay.
That's okay. Megan Mack is the new producer, and she can only hear in one ear, so I'm going to blame her.
Okay. Well, she's got to put her headset on that one ear, though.
That's the only mistake she'll ever make. Go ahead, Keith.
Got a couple comments. I'm a couple years past the 20s, and maybe the article was, in life I've learned sometimes you got to exaggerate the obvious just to make a point. Now, I've known people in their 20s, and I know people who try to work with people in the 20s, and at a certain age, you think you're immortal. You're immortal for everything, life and death, financial problems, everything seems to not apply to you because you're young and good looking, great job, blah, 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 but you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So a lot of young people don't think that far in advance. But, however, and this is where the problem comes in, you eventually have to start thinking about it. So let's say you have a choice of going to Europe this summer with your friends or putting the $5,000 in the bank.
Right.
And you're in your 20s. Now, that might make sense to do when you're in your 20s because in your 30s, you might be married and have a kid. Then you can't do it. So if you're saving the money now to buy the bigger house in your 30s rather than the moderate house because that's what everybody wants, then you're going to end up with a life full of regrets. Stuff you should have done when you were younger. Now, again, I'm exaggerating the obvious to make a point, too. But I think every young adult, as long as they're employed, needs some sort of financial plan. You know, maybe not necessarily a retirement plan from the get-go, but at least have a plan that you're at now. You've got a good job. It's paying you six figures, but you've got, you know, three times six figures college debt. Well, start to work on your plan now, but still leave some money for you aside now to do what you'd like to do that you probably won't be able to do when you're older.
Keith, thanks for the phone call. On the point that Keith's saying, you know, hey, maybe she's exaggerating to make a point. I want to be even more clear about what the author is saying in this piece. She's saying that her generation is different fundamentally from her parents, and the reason that 20-somethings feel pressure to save is parents have put that pressure on them. And let me read directly from the piece. She says, quote, "But like most things our parents have ingrained in us, we must consciously work to push it out, because while they might have the best intentions, they don't always have the best insight. They want us to save because it provides us with a safety net, but that's exactly why we shouldn't. Their need for us to have a safety net is just a giant metaphor for the difference between our parents' generation and ours. And she goes on to say, when you're too worried about your bank statement, especially in your 20s, you won't make your own. And she says, when you live your life around your retirement fund, you might as well retire right now. You cannot make a mark on this world if you are too cheap to live in it. I don't think she's exaggerating to make a point. I think she thinks actual savings is a mistake in your 20s. Anybody read it differently? I think she's saying this is a generational thing. Saying if you're in your 20s, the older generations don't get it, that kids and young adults have new values, and that means spending, making a mark, seeing the world, and, you know, retirement be damned.
You know what we don't have, though, this generation doesn't have the experience that parents have.
Because you can't, right?
Because you can't. Right.
They don't have it yet. They're only 20 years old.
That's like the most insulting part of life, by the way. That when you're in your 20s, you can't have the wisdom that you eventually acquire in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. But I think the point Chuck's making is, you know, she has very good intentions. She can't possibly have the experience and the understanding of why her parents are urging her.
No, and, you know, our job is, with our clients, I tell them is, you know, my job with you is to advocate for you in 15 years now to make those decisions. And that's what our parents do for us so much of the time is they're advocating for us to, I don't want my daughter to touch the stove. She's two. She doesn't know that it's going to hurt her. So we tell her no. That's us advocating for them because they don't have the experience. And it's a simple example, but they don't have the experience yet to know that you're probably going to get hurt.
And, you know, things happen in life. You know, you never know. You could, you know, all of a sudden get in a car accident and have a disability. You could, you know, be happily married and, you know, your significant other, you know, passes away and now you're left with debt. Just there are situations where I think maybe a 20-something doesn't really have enough life experiences.
You feel invincible, sure.
Yeah. So, and then what do? You need a savings. You need a nest egg. You need something. If you've spent it, you know, then you're digging yourself into a really horrible situation in a deep hole that makes it much more difficult to get out of.
Listeners, if you want to check out the viral essay that sparked this conversation, again, I posted it on the Twitter feed, at Evan Dawson on Twitter. It's If You Have Savings in Your 20s, You're Doing Something Wrong. Working our way through it, and all of the phones are lit up, so we might as well let the listeners as well direct the conversation with our guests. And it starts, let's second up, it's going to be Heather in Rochester. Go ahead, Heather.
Hey, I'm a 20-something, and I have been in that place where I didn't save anything, and I'm 25 now, and I'm like, I probably should have saved that. But I save $50 on my paycheck now, and it helps because it's every week, and it needs to happen. And I think the girl that wrote this is a little bit psychotic, honestly.
Well, I take the point. I think she's really well-intended. I really do. I think the author is seeing, you know, her generation is wanting to make a mark on the world, and that's not a negative thing at all. And I think she's just dichotomizing things so starkly. But anyway, I should ask you, Heather, so are you happier now? Do you feel like you're depriving yourself in a way that doesn't allow you to express yourself?
No, I feel like if you express yourself, you don't need money to do that all the time. I mean, you can do that by who you are on the inside, not by what you spend. I think this generation, like Keith said, really does feel like we can do anything and, you know, there's no problems ever. But there is, like the lady on your panel was saying, things happen and you don't always see them happening, but they happen and you need money for those things.
Heather, thank you for the phone call. And you're getting a thumbs up from the panel here.
Yeah, good for you, Heather, for taking the initiative to go save on your own.
And I think also, you know, Bryce, I don't know how many clients you have who are 20-somethings like that. Sometimes people in their 20s, sometimes people in their teens, sometimes people in their 30s or 40s think, I don't have enough money to be talking finances with an expert. You know, what would you say to people who are thinking, I'm not ready for that yet, it's not my time for that?
Well, I can say that's the exact time that you need advice. That is the time where you can have the greatest impact on your future financial freedom. Being able to establish a habit, whether it be $50 per pay period or even something maybe less than that, the habit that you're establishing today is going to pay dividends beyond compounded interest in the future, because it's far greater value and far easier for you to be able to do to go from maybe a 10% 401k contribution to a 15% than a 40-year-old to go from 0 to 20%, being that that would be the required contribution that they'd have to make to establish even the retirement nest egg that would be of most minimal requirement.
Sure. And I also think, again, that question on expressing yourself and finding value in the world and being able to contribute to the world, it just seems to me like such a false choice that you have to spend whatever money you make in your 20s in order to feel like you have done that. It's a strange setup to me, and it's almost suspicious of money. It feels suspicious of anybody who has saved money. And, you know, Susan, do you feel that way? I mean, tell me a little, before I get back to the phones, and I'm going to get back to the phones in just a second. Susan Glenns is someone who, at 32, owns your own business now. Because you did not have this kind of advice in your 20s, you actually decided to be careful. Tell me a little bit about your own process throughout your 20s.
Sure. I mean, like Heather said on the phone, I started small, saving a little bit with every paycheck. I took advantage prior to my real estate career in taking advantage of the 401k match my employer provided. And I think that's a big mistake if you don't take advantage of a 401k match from your employer. So I started there, and once I left that previous career, I had saved enough money to allow me to start my business for 6 months without having the stress of worrying about money, so that I could service my clients and give them the service that they were looking for, and have continued to invest in properties and other businesses along the way. I think it's about what you said, Bryce, developing habits and ingraining that habit in you to where it's not something that is looked upon negatively, but it's just something that you do naturally.
Dan on Twitter says, it is Elite Daily, and I've never taken their articles all that seriously. I don't know much about Elite Daily, but here's what I know. That article has been shared 65,000 times on Facebook. I feel like a number of people I know have shared it. 2.3 million likes. That's why we're looking at this, because clearly it rang true to a lot of millennials, this notion of anti-saving. Chuck?
Well, they don't have a dislike button yet.
They will soon.
There would have been some clicks on that. You know, and the other thing is, I was talking about this with a couple of colleagues because we shared it around our office and honestly had a good laugh about it. It sounds great. It sounds great to go do that. You think, yeah, you know what? It's a rallying cry. But then when you pull yourself out of it and actually think about it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it sounds really good.
And by the way, one of the reasons the author of the piece says her generation is different, she points out numbers that show her generation is waiting longer to get married and have kids. You can spend your 20s finding yourself, traveling, expressing yourself, spending money. That, again, that just delays. Mm-hmm. Unless the research says that her generation is never getting married or having kids, but that still doesn't mean saving is some sort of a negative thing. So it is strange. But again, to Dan's point on Twitter, I don't know much about the origin of the website. What I do know is that a lot of people feel like, yeah, this speaks to me. And I think to some degree, Chuck is saying it might speak to people who don't have savings, and they're sort of using it to justify that. Maybe the author felt that way.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I would argue, Evan, yep, too, just to that point, that when you're in your 20s, you have more time and freedom and flexibility to work as hard as possible without those commitments and obligations of children and family, mm-hmm, you know, for the most part. So you can put the time in.
Yeah, boy, that's so true. One of the other really unfair things about life, I think, is that you can't know what it's like to have a child until you have that child. And then you go, wow, I want to go back to that time where I thought. Anyway, that's a whole other show. Let me get back to the phones. John and Canandaigua next. Go ahead, John.
Oh, hi. Yes. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I think the point is that there's all kinds of investments other than monetary, and to strictly tie it into a financial acumen is not necessarily correct. And I would offer and point the story of my daughter in New Orleans, who is just 30 now, and she had a tragedy. She lost her husband young to cancer. She does have had a university job, library job, a tenure track. And so her story is that she bought a shotgun double in New Orleans, renovated one side to rent Airbnb. The other side she rented out. She's now traveling and taken the opportunity to develop herself. She's deeply involved with yoga now. That was one of her strategies after her loss. And I think that, how would I say it, to strictly say it, you can invest in yourself in other than a monetary means. Now, this is not a reckless girl. This is a girl who would save her Halloween candy and make it last till Easter.
Right?
We're
That's
not
discipline.
Talking about, exactly. And that candy, of course, lasted until Halloween. And this is not a reckless person. But the thing is, the university job, great school. However, underendowed, every year another million and a half, 2 million is getting cut from the budget. And it was a position where she did not feel particularly challenged. And so I think to take that time, to take that money and invest it in herself and her own future,
yep.
As I was saying, it's not just monetary investment. Okay, hey, I'll leave it at that. Thank you much.
John, thank you for the phone call. I mean, I'm seeing some people respond online saying, you know, I think most people think the article is a little is a lot wrong. But there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, don't just take the highest paying job just to make the most money. Make sure you're satisfied and you're fulfilled in your career. That's not the argument here, though. That's not what Lauren Martin is arguing. Some thoughts about what we just heard. Karen, what do you think about some of John's points that you just heard?
I do like the fact that he was saying, you know, take this opportunity to bet on yourself right now. Now is the time to make a mark. I mean, his daughter was, you know, suffered something tragic and did something on her own to make it better, and so that she can travel and she can do these things and make herself better. So, you know, it focus on yourself, and I don't care what time of, you know, millennium it is, if it's, you know, now or, you know, 30 years ago, you have to take care of yourself.
And the odd thing is the article, the author of this piece says, if you're saving in your 20s, you're not betting on yourself. She's saying, spend it now and trust that you'll make a lot more money
right.
later. Which again, Susan, if that was what you did in your career, would you be owning your own business at 32?
Absolutely not. I probably would have dropped out of real estate and back to the grindstone. So.
And the producer of this program, Megan Mack, highlights a specific line that stood out to her, which is, Lauren Martin writes, people who save in their 20s are people who don't set their sights high. They've dropped out of the game. I don't understand the idea that if you're saving money in your 20s, you've dropped out of the game. The game must be spending money.
It's very short-sighted, isn't it? It seems like she thinks this is the prime time in my life. This is the best fun, most fun I'm ever going to have. And, you know, I got to say, my father is retired for the last couple of years, never thought he would, and he's having more fun than I do. He's loving it, and that's because he put himself in a position where he now has all the freedom in the world to do whatever he wants.
You know, one of the only things that came out of this article that I thought made some sense is the idea of betting on yourself. And that's what John's daughter did. The first thing he mentioned, she bought herself a property. She's used it to turn it into some form of an income stream. There's nothing wrong with betting on yourself. Double down on yourself when you're in this age. That's not being reckless. We should all bet on ourselves. We all have in this room to get into this field. You're betting on yourself and your ability to succeed.
Rachel on Twitter says, an alternate title for this article might be, planning for the future is like so totally lame, in the future I'll be dead. That is true. We will all be dead in the future. And Michelle writes, she writes like a 20-something. She's immortal and has no sense of a middle ground. All or nothing? It's immature. So, You know, you're seeing a number of responses along those lines. Let's get a short break in, and we're going to come back to Paul in Brighton, Christine in Canandaigua waiting on the line to join the conversation as we talk about this article that has gone viral. If you have savings in your 20s, you're doing something wrong. That is not the advice that our panel is sharing with us. We're talking to Chuck Wade, who is a financial advisor with Brighton Securities. Susan Glenn's a real estate agent who owns her own business thanks to her own smart financial planning. Karen Galliano, who is a client relationship manager with the Bonadio Financial Services, LLC, and Bryce Carey, a partner and financial advisor with North Landing Financial Partners. We're coming right back with your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, we take a close look at new numbers on domestic violence in our community. Does Rochester have a particular problem, or do the numbers show that more people are reporting domestic violence locally? We know often victims don't come forward. What's changing that, and what can we do next? Join the conversation. It's coming up next hour on Connections.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra welcoming conductor laureate Christopher Seaman for Brahms' Fourth Symphony. Plus, NPR host and pianist Christopher O'Reilly plays Mozart October 15th and 17th. Tickets at rpo.org.
And Finger Lakes Cider Week, an exploration of hard cider through a series of culinary events, tastings, and festivals in venues across the region, October 2nd through the 11th. Event details and locations at ciderweekflx.com.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's go to Paul in Brighton, who's been waiting to weigh in. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I appreciate always you having these programs, Evan. But frankly, this topic does, there's a certain silliness to it. You know, the woman, maybe she's a bit immature. But the real problem is not her immaturity, but the editors who decided to publish her article. I think that's the problem. They should have known better. The real most people obviously are not going to follow this kind of advice. Most people are savvy enough not to do that. But there are a few people who are vulnerable, and those are the ones that we should be concerned about. There are a few people who are going to read this article and say, you know what, that's what I should do. I should just spend my money. And for a few months they'll do that and damage themselves. And those are the people who are really going to be hurt by this. Perhaps that's the extent of the real damage that will be done. Most people know that there's a balance in life, a balance between the now and the future and what you should do about saving and spending. Most people know that, yes, you have to live life in real time, but you do have to plan for the future.
I greatly appreciate the phone call. And number one, I want to point out, not just to Paul, but to listening audience, my first reaction to this piece was exactly like Paul's. Well, big deal. Who is going to listen to this? So, Paul, I'm with you there. The problem was it became this viral, high-velocity success among a lot of 20-somethings. Again, 2.3 million likes on Facebook, which, if you're not on Facebook often, yeah, that's people saying, yeah, that speaks to me. Or 65,000 shares. That means people are saying, check this out, read it, absorb it. Most of the people sharing it are not saying, don't ever do this. They're saying, see, money is not what life's all about. Experiences, you know, making a mark on the world is. So, and then couple that with the debt problem we have in this country. And I thought, you know, this audience for this broadcast includes a lot of 20-somethings. You heard it, one of our callers earlier. I hear from them every day. I love the fact that we've got a diverse and growing audience with this program, really across backgrounds. And I think people need to hear it. And if you're a parent out there, you're thinking, well, what 20-something's hearing this? Chuck Wade, do you have any doubt that some 20-somethings hear this and they do think, yep, that, you know, that speaks to me?
Yeah, it's... It sounds like me in college. It sounds great. I mean, think about it. You know, go have experiences. Don't worry about making money. It sounds great. It's a nice rallying cry. You know, so Tom Petty had a quote one time. It said, you know, make memories. Go out and spend money you don't have. And I thought it's a great quote. But you know what? When you're driving down to New York City and your car breaks down an hour out of the city and you need to get a new transmission that costs $1,300 and you're stuck in the city, this happened to me several years ago, then you're glad that you did set a couple of bucks aside because, well, you're able to get home.
Yeah, and so, Paul, again, so many listeners like Paul are probably thinking, that essay is obviously silly. Enough people take it seriously that if you, especially if you're a parent in this audience and you're hearing it, maybe it's a reminder to talk to your children about finances. One of our listeners said, you know, at what point is it good to begin talking about savings? Perhaps if you start young enough, then they will already be set by the time they get into their 20s with good financial knowledge. Not set financially, set with good decision-making. Mm-hmm. Susan, what was it about you that sparked you to make better decisions in your 20s?
I think it all goes back to my parents and the habits that they had with their money. It's just setting that good example for me. And also having big goals and knowing what I want to accomplish in the next 15, 20, 30 years. So many people, you know, don't have goals, and that's okay if you're working towards a goal or to figure that out. Having a goal gives you drive so you can put a plan in place to reach that goal.
Okay, Chuck, youngest client that you're aware of who comes into your offices?
You know, I have a client that comes to mind, and he's in his early...
Again, we're not selling out specific names, so I'm just curious, but go ahead.
You know, I have one gentleman, I think he's 22.
22.
And he called a couple months ago and said, I want to raise my contribution. You know, and he works for a highway department, doesn't make a ton of money, but his mom is a client of the firm's, and she ingrained it into him. You know, he started at $50 a month, and then he went to 60, and now he's up to 100. And, you know, he's just said, I just want to do that. I want to be able to have the freedom to do what I want when I get married and when I have kids. So it's a great client. I love when the phone rings and I see that it's him because I know he's making a good decision for himself.
Okay. Karen, youngest who you can recall coming into the offices?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, just new college graduates that call us and just want to, you know, because their relative, their parents told them, you know, you really should come in and put some money aside into a savings account or an IRA. And, I mean, I'm astounded by that. They take the initiative and they actually make the call. And, you know, that's what I've seen just a few years ago. So, you know, somebody like this author here, I can't believe that there has been so many likes. And like you said, Chuck, there isn't a dislike button.
Don't you wish.
I would really like to compare, you know, who liked it and who didn't. But I do wanted to mention, you know, the debt part, because, you know, I mean, a 20-something that can't have so much to go out and binge buy, they probably are getting into some sort of credit card debt, which is only going to make matters worse in the end. And as my dad would say, you know, credit is good and then it's bad. You know, it's good because you have it. You can buy a house. You can buy a car. And then when you get it over your head, you're, for lack of a better word, you know, unfortunately not in a good situation.
Craig writes to the program, I wonder if we're giving the writer too much credit. My sense is the people who cannot save for retirement would love to do so, and the writer sounds quite privileged and expects to be bailed out by parents. The writer's message is not that she expects her parents to bail her out. It's that she'll spend all of her money in her 20s and bet on herself to be making more later in life, so that she'll be fine. Bryce, what do you think of Craig's comment there?
Well, the lack of safety net that she feels is required is really, I think, the scariest part. Who will be her safety net if not herself? Will it be her friends that she's networking with? Will it be the employer that says, oh, now's the time for that raise? Or will it be her parents that ultimately told her otherwise and she did not listen to?
We're talking about this article, if you're just joining us, that has gone viral. If you have savings in your 20s, you're doing something wrong, written by a writer named Lauren Martin. She doesn't usually write about money. She did this time, and a lot of 20-somethings found it to be right up their alley. She makes the point in the piece, or she tries to make the point, that saving money is a sign that you're doing something unproductive with your life, that you're sort of venal and you're kind of addicted to the idea of your future, and you're not living your present. And so we're talking about the possible impact of that kind of advice for people with our panel, and Christine in Canandaigua is next up. Go ahead, Christine.
Yes, hello. I'd like the panel to talk more about blending the two. I traveled extensively abroad and saved money. So if I'll get off the phone right now, but I'd really like you folks to talk about how you can moderate and balance both. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Christine.
Yeah, I think, Christine, you make an excellent point, and there's nothing wrong with putting some money aside for yourself in the future and keeping some money and spending it on yourself. You don't need to deprive yourself. We don't tell clients to deprive yourself. You know, I say call it their sandbox money. You know, let's budget that you're going to save X amount on a monthly basis or an annual basis, and then let's budget for something that you want to go now. What are you looking forward to doing within the next year? Do you want to go to Europe? Do you want to take a two-week vacation in the winter? Well, go do that, and it'll be a lot easier to do it if you plan to do it and set a couple of bucks aside. I don't think anyone in this room's advocating to not enjoy yourself, but to be responsible about it and have a plan to do it.
Okay. Well, you want to weigh in here?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, to Chuck's point, the key word there was budget. I think having a written plan around where your money is going to go and where you want to allocate funds is a great place to start.
I want to read a comment from a listener who thinks that there's a certain conservative bent to this program today, and Harriet writes the following. Harriet says, I would guess that there are numerous writers, visual artists, dancers, musicians, and other creative people, some quite well known, that would fully embrace spending your 20s making creative contributions to human existence and spending all that you have. The practicality of saving can wait and does wait for many of those people who have and will have terrific, fulfilling lives even later on. And so I wonder if there isn't a conservative slant to your panel's thinking about savings being equated with common sense. And in terms of this, we are looking at two different kinds of people. Common sense to creative people is different, and thank goodness for this. Harriet, I appreciate the email, and I, you know, I understand the point that you're making. No question about it. I mean, but again, what I'm going back to is the article itself, not what people might project onto it. And the article itself is not saying, contribute to the world, be charitable, don't just go for high-paying jobs that don't contribute to society. Art is great, embrace it. The article is saying, if you are making money and you save it, you are not doing what you should be doing in your 20s for a number of reasons. And So I don't take it as a conservative bent to the program. Take it from me. I'm somebody who, in my life, I have taken less money to do something I love and have been fulfilled endlessly by that. But let me go around the panel. I'll start with Susan. What do you make of Harriet's points? I agree with her that sure. There are people who contribute to the world in ways far beyond money and far beyond the idea of just trying to build a nest egg for themselves and their families. I do understand that. What do you think?
Absolutely. I agree with her as well. I think, to your point, people contribute much more than money to the world. I also agree with your other point that if you do have money and you can save it, you're only doing yourself a favor to save it in the long term.
And if she would say, by the way, if Harriet or somebody else would say, if you've got money and you're saving it, then you're not maybe contributing to important charities and other work. But Chuck, I know you work with clients who have charity at the very top of their list.
Yeah.
And that means now, but it also means in the future.
Absolutely. And you know, I've had a conversation with one client. It's a husband and wife, and they like to tithe to their church on an annual basis. And they've said it's very important to us. So we make it part of their plan and say, you know, what could you comfortably do but still take advantage of, you know, making sure you're benefiting yourself now and in the future, and it's something we work towards. A lot of the times what we all talk about with our clients is, what are your goals? Not necessarily you walk in the door and you need to save. It's, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish in life? And let's work towards that. And for some folks, it is charitable giving, and that's great. You can work towards that, and we help people with that every day.
You know, the article, I'm sorry with the readers.
That was Harriet who wrote it.
Harriet. Mm-hmm. I agree that, you know, there are some creative, you know, musicians and actors, and that you have to take, you know, risks in some of those types of professions. There was a quote in the article, you know, this isn't the time to safeguard, it's the time to bet all your chips and hope to make it big. You know, betting is not such a bad thing. Taking risks is not such a bad thing. I think, you know, doing it all at once and throwing it all in and hoping to make it big is probably and I don't want to say it's wrong, it's just incorrect and a little naive to say that. But do, you know, have a balance, have a budget, have, you know, some nest egg just in case you didn't make it, you know, creatively, or, you know, taking that plunge, taking that risk. I just think throwing it all in and giving it, you know, your all without having any, you know, extra cushion is very risky.
Okay. Bryce, what do you think?
Absolutely. Establishing that healthy balance, it comes from having knowledge and understanding where your cash flow is going, and prioritizing it where you want it to go will ultimately put you in control, help you achieve those goals, and be able to contribute to society in the way that you feel most impacts the world that you want to live in.
Let me get back to the phones, and this is Meredith in Fairport. Go ahead, Meredith.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I'm 25 years old. I really truly feel that as a millennial, our outlook on life is extremely different. from all the generations that came before us. To us, you know, the future isn't just a roller coaster that's going to keep on going up. There is no going up for us as far as we can see. You know, we're facing extraordinary climate changes. So I think for us, you know, instead of saving our money for this eventual world that we don't even know is going to exist, we see the opportunity as we need to take advantage of the things we see now in front of us. You know, we're not going to have the world, we're not going to be able to freely travel like, you know, everybody can right now if we save our money for later, maybe because of extra responsibilities we have, but also just because it may not be a thing we can even do. And furthermore, we don't really see success as a thing of saving money will eventually lead to success. It's you're going to get lucky or you're not. You're going to make all the money in the world and become super rich like the Zuckerbergs and everybody else out there, or you're going to have a very hard time of it. There's no middle ground. To us, like, the world is much, much different than it was for everybody else. And we're told to deal with this all while, you know, older generations are saying, oh, well, you don't know anything. But the world is very different now. And I don't think that people quite understand that perspective that we now have.
Meredith, I'm thrilled that you called to add your voice. And that dovetails, stay on the line for a sec, Meredith, if you could. It dovetails with the comment I just got from Joan. And Joan said it would have been a more interesting show if there were a couple of panel members who are actually in that age cohort. The only way to understand a different generation is to talk with them. Well, Chuck and Susan.
We are in that age cohort.
Chuck and Susan are. They're in the same generation. And Chuck said that he spent his 20s. He wished he had spent his 20s a little bit more mindful about where some of the money was going, part of your 20s at least.
Yeah.
And Susan spent her 20s, you know, if you've missed it earlier, she owns her own business now. She's in real estate. And I also take what Meredith is saying, and I think it's very valuable contribution to this program, because every generation is a little bit different. So let's let the younger part of the panelists react. Go ahead, Susan.
Absolutely. I'm so glad she called in. I think on a break I said, Evan, I really want someone to call in that is in support of the article so we can hear their viewpoint.
Absolutely.
So thank you for calling in. I do agree with her that the world is much different now, but I think of it in different ways. We have higher student debt. The cost of living is increasing. I think there's a lot of negative things that have made the world different, and it's only the more reason to prepare yourself and put yourself in a good position for the future.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, and we talked about this before the show, is my first experience with the stock market is what happened in 2008. And the financial crisis. The first time I actually remember paying attention to financial markets and what was going on in the world. So I understand how there's that level of trepidation that people have with, you know, I don't like this. I don't think it's right for me. I think the, you know, for lack of a better term, the world is going to end because the stock market's going to crash. And that's where a lot of the times it starts with having a conversation with somebody and trying to peel back the veneer a little bit and learn how saving actually works. You're not putting all your money into the stock market, but you're putting money aside so that you'll have better options in the future.
Yeah. And Meredith, I want to speak to you directly as someone who is not that far in age from you. I like to remind myself I'm not, you know, age is age. Look, but I understand your generational perspective. Let me just say, your comments about the world changing, especially now that I'm a parent, I think about that all the time. I think about my son. I think about my concern that, you know, a nuclear warhead goes off in a city and all of a sudden it accelerates that kind of a confrontation worldwide, and who knows what kind of world we're left with. I think about climate, absolutely. The good news about climate is right now it's certainly a problem, and we'll see how innovative we get at dealing with it, but you and I are probably not in our lifetime going to see the worst of it, and to the point where we can't travel. But I also want to say I share your concern about the long term of that, no question about it. So I guess what I want to say is, you know, your perspective is very, very valuable on this program today, and I'm glad you took time to call. I hope we can make you more optimistic about mankind's future, but part of that is a good sort of healthy dialogue, right?
No, believe it or not, I'm actually quite cheerful.
You, I do believe it. I absolutely believe it. But I also think you're a realist. So anyway, my point, Meredith, is that was a very valuable contribution. I just hope that there is more of a world left for her and her kids' future. But that was great to hear that. Let me get back to the phones and Dave in Rochester. Next up, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on this. I'm a little bit older than the millennial generation, being in my 40s. But I think, you know, this kind of idea has been around for a long time. There's always been somebody saying, I think it was John Lennon said it, and somebody said it before him, that life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Of course, he can say that because he was John Lennon, so he had quite, you know, he was going to be all right, so he can make those kind of statements. But I think this theme has been something, live for today, you're never going to have it back. I think it's something that's been around for a long time. I think the danger comes, obviously, with the addition to things like Facebook, where you can put an idea out there and it can get shared by so many people, and then an idea can become a following. But I don't think this is anything new. I think there's always been a segment of society of certain generations that's always believed this. Now, with the current millennial generation, I think the irony of somebody speaking for this generation saying you should go out and live life is the fact that most of the time I go out to bars or restaurants and I see the millennials and they're surrounded at a table with their cell phones and nobody's looking up, nobody's talking to each other, and they're just on their phones and on the computers and the Facebook and the Yelp and everything else. I'm sounding my age now. but the funny part is that they don't, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of them experiencing life, but for the most part, the social aspect I think is changing, and it's ironic because I don't feel like they experience life the same way that we did when we're younger than with all this technology, and you know, if you take this argument of live life now because you're never going to be this age again, you could make that argument about any generation. You could be in grammar school and say I'm not going to do my homework because I'm never going to be this age again, and you know, I'm never going to be able to sit down in front of my Xbox or whatever. I'll never get this time back. You can make that for any time in your life. So there is a point where you have to be responsible and you have to do things for yourself.
Yeah, Dave, let me just end because we're going to get short on time. That was a great point on a number of levels, but it also is a reminder that we do have to be careful speaking about one generation as being only one thing. You know, so for example, I have been with my son at kids' play areas, things like that, and I've seen grandparents who are stuck on their cell phones, not hanging out watching the kids. I've seen it. I actually, it was like a couple weekends ago. I couldn't believe it. But certainly, there is a stereotype that millennials are all out at a bar, and yet they're not talking to each other. They're on their cell phones. People like Meredith from Fairport, who called, who's 25, I'd be shocked if it's people like that. I think it's a much more diverse generation. And Lauren Martin, the author, is arguing for making an impact on the world, making an impression. She just thinks saving money is a sign that you don't care about the world, and I just fundamentally disagree with that. So let's get some final thoughts before we finish the hour. I'll go around. Bryce, 30 seconds apiece. Bryce, what do you want to leave the audience with?
Sure. The key here that I think we've all discussed is finding balance in your life and really identifying what's most important to you and prioritizing that within your resources, whether you are paying down student debt or you do have cash flow to be able to maximize your life today. Always know that there's a life tomorrow too, unless you're Meredith maybe. You do want to plan and utilize your resources to provide yourself with a healthy balance, stability, opportunity, and freedom in the future as well.
All right, Karen, brief final thoughts?
I think, you know, just to talk to Meredith's point a little bit, don't give up on yourself. I think she sounds, she's very realistic, but at the same time, don't think negative about the future. If you have an education, if you have some, knowledge under your belt, use that to help you get better, to help your future, to help you create that safety net. And don't just, give up on the fact that life is not going to be here. That's very scary. Try to find a balance, take some risks, the most successful people in the world take risks, and they're the most successful people because of that. So, try to find a balance, and That's, you know,
okay.
That's my point.
20 seconds. Chuck Wade.
Enjoy yourself, but have a plan. The future's going to be here before you know it. You'll be glad you thought about the future for the short time you need to now when that time is here.
Okay. And Susan Glenn's?
One of my favorite quotes I heard recently, and I apologize. I don't know who it was from, so if you're out there listening, I apologize. But it's that I live like no one else right now so that I can live like no one else in the future.
Great stuff this hour. And again, I agree with Susan. I'm really glad we heard from people who understand a little bit of where the article's author is coming from. And so whether it was Meredith or others, Harriet who wrote in, really valuable contributions. And I don't think anybody on this panel thinks the idea is make as much money as you can and save as much money as you can. It's, as Chuck said, have a plan. Great stuff. Susan Glenn, thank you so much for your time. Chuck Wade from Brighton Securities. Thank you, Chuck.
Yep.
Karen Galliano with Bonadio Financial Services. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
And Bryce Carey from North Landing Financial Partners. Thank you, Bryce.
My pleasure.
All right, short break, and it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're talking domestic violence in Rochester next.